In 2006, South Dakota voters were deciding whether to refer a law banning almost all abortion. Meanwhile, on the Pine Ridge Reservation, the Oglala Sioux Tribe's president, Cecilia Little Thunder, said she'd defy the law. Fire Thunder, excuse me, said she'd defy the law and start efforts to start a family planning clinic on tribal land. The battle for reproductive rights on the reservation created a political awakening in Sunny Clifford, a young woman who'd completed 2 years of college in Oklahoma and was back home in Kyle working as a grocery store clerk. Her story is the focus of the PBS Independent Lens documentary Young Lakota, which airs Monday evening on SDPB-TV. Joining us on the line are the film's producers and directors, Marion Lipschutz and Rose Rosenblatt. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Great to be here.
Also with us is Sunny Clifford. Thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'd like to start with you, Marion, and Rose. What was it that first brought you to Pine Ridge?
Women's rights, reproductive rights, health and justice is the beat we've been covering for years. And we were scoping around for a story. We were on Pine Ridge. We were following a particular story that didn't pan out. But then while there, we heard that Cecilia Fire Thunder was getting impeached. And when we found out what for, this was our beat. And so we jumped on it.
So how did you come across Sunny Clifford and her neighbor, Brandon Ferguson, and the other people in the documentary?
Sunny and Serena, her twin sister, were at Cecilia Fire Thunder's suspension hearing. They were the only, along with Brandon, who had originally been a guide for us and was helping us out because he was a filmmaker he was at Oglala Lakota College Media Center. They were the only young people who were at the suspension, so that's how we met them.
And Sunny Clifford, for you, what was it that brought you to the suspension and the impeachment hearings for Cecilia Fire Thunder?
Cecilia Fire Thunder was the first female president of our tribe, and that alone intrigued me. Also because she was having open discussions within the communities across the reservation, and I've never heard of any other tribal president doing that. And we wanted to go hear her speak, and if you've ever heard Cecilia speak, she's very passionate, and she ignited a flame in both of my sister and I.
And how did you then, I'm wondering how the situation with getting involved with the documentary, how that worked. Did Marion and Rose approach you, and is that how that started?
Yeah, that was really odd. I mean, here my sister and I are at her impeachment hearing, and there's some filmmakers there, and they just came up to us, and we started a dialogue, and they interviewed us, and it just went from there.
Were you reluctant at first?
Yeah, generally I was. My sister was. We didn't know. I actually couldn't understand why they wanted to film us, but I let them anyways.
Oh, Sunny.
Of course we did. And we were interested in a coming of age story. And so, and when, you know, there were so few young people and a reservation, which 50% or over 50% of the population is over 18, I mean, is under 18. So we were on to the idea of doing this perspective through young people is very appealing to us.
No, what's interesting as documentary filmmakers, You mentioned you're on Pine Ridge looking for another story. That one didn't pan out. How often does that happen when you're working on documentaries? Because you've done several that you have one story in mind. That one doesn't pan out, so you maybe stumble on something else, like it seems happened here.
Life is very unpredictable. Uh-huh. As it goes in life, so it goes with documentary films. You think one thing's going to happen and something else does.
How often do you maybe do a lot of work on a documentary and maybe a narrative or a story doesn't quite pan out?
This is the first time this has happened to us. We start doing a story and we encounter other kinds of difficulties, like the main character realizes how much work it's going to be and how intrusive in a certain way it's going to be in their lives, and they go through a period of saying, oh, no, I can't do this. I had no idea I can't do this. And then we have to, you know, work with them and convince them to that, you know, it's a great story and that they're really good and that they can carry this story and that they should go ahead. But this was unusual. Every story that we went to film, by the time we finished the research, we ended up doing the documentary. In this case, this was an unusual event, and we were lucky in an ironic way that Cecilia was getting impeached, that it was our beat. And so we just, you know, you have to think a lot on your feet, and that's what we did.
Sonny, did you find it intrusive at first? Because this gets behind the scenes. There's a lot about your personal life in this as well.
Yeah, there is a lot of my personal life, and I didn't realize in the beginning how intrusive the camera could be. And, like, gradually I started realizing, and then pretty soon I was, you know, I went through the process of I don't want to do this and find somebody else. Yeah, it was a challenge for me.
There were times when she said, turn off the camera, and the camera went off.
I'm wondering, Marion, there are a lot of different points of view, several different narratives, the referral of the state's abortion law, as we've been talking about, the removal of Cecilia Fire Thunder's position as a tribal president. There's the election that has various twists and turns. There's, as we've been talking about, Sonny Clifford's personal story, that of Brandon Ferguson. Was it difficult to pull this all together so that you have a cohesive documentary that runs less than an hour?
I can't cuss on the air, so this is a bleep of a film to shoot and edit and put together. It was enormously complicated because film is pretty literal. So if you're following one character or one story and you want to switch to another, finding a way to get there without it being a non sequitur. In other words, you're following one character and suddenly you need to get to the other character. You're following the tribal election and then you need to get to the state election. It's really three different election campaigns. There's a tribal, there's a primary, and for the tribe, the primary and the general election. For the statewide ban, abortion ban, the referendum that was happening in the fall. First, you have to set up what the abortion ban was. Then you have to set up that it's going to vote in September. Three young people who are doing different things. Sonny was working at Kyle Grocery. Serena had a young daughter. Brandon was partly at the media center and then working for the tribe, which in a place with big distances means everybody's geographically dispersed and you just have one camera, cell phones that don't work all the time. And then you have Cecilia at another end of the reservation and Alex Whiteplume. So everybody is quite literally all over the place, and bringing that into a coherent story was a bleep of a job. And compounded by the fact that when we first met the three of them, they were all Cecilia Fire Thunder supporters and in that camp. And, you know, after filming a bit with Brandon taking the turn that he takes, the opportunity to work for Alex Whiteplume, who ended up running against Cecilia, just was another jog in a film that, you know, aged us many, many years.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with the producers and directors of the PBS Independent Lens documentary Young Lakota, which airs Monday evening on SDPB-TV. Marion Lipschutz and Rose Rosenblatt, also with us, is one of the young people that's included in the film, in the documentary, Sonny Clifford. As filmmakers, I'm wondering, since you're dealing with real people's lives, real stories, how sensitive you need to be in how you tell the stories and when you're there, when you're filming them as they're going about their daily business?
Well, we're not in the business of wrecking people's lives. Mm-hmm. So there are things that we might choose not to put in. And that's really one of our guiding principles. Rose, were you?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, there's the process of filming and then there's the process of editing, and that can take you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, probably 3 years from soup to nuts. And you film a lot. You can film 200 to 300 hours. You're scaled down to either an hour and a half for a festival version or an hour for a TV version. And so when you're shooting, you're like a squirrel collecting nuts for the winter. You don't really know what you're going to end up using. And in the process of filming, you connect to the characters, and they get on board at a certain point at which they come to really understand what this methodology is, what this process is about, and they get on board and they help you make it, and they help shape and make those decisions, not necessarily directly, but indirectly, because they start giving more of themselves to you and to the film. So they, in a sense, really do help shape it.
But it's their courage. You know, any character in a film has to be pretty courageous to allow what winds up in the film in. So, you know, it's Sunny's story is deeply personal. She breaks up with a boyfriend. She grows over time. She has conflicts. So, you know, each of them are struggling in various ways. And being all right with how the final product turns out and being willing to put it out there is generous as well, because it allows other people to see themselves in that story, but it takes courage and generosity.
Sunny, did you feel courageous as this was going on, as you were participating in the filming of the documentary?
Or when it was put out.
Yeah, when it's not that it's out there.
The scary part.
Yeah, the scary part. Yeah, what's it like now to see this documentary and see this this younger version of yourself from some 7 years ago?
Oh, it's really difficult for me to watch. It's difficult for me to watch myself go through what I did go through. And it's a little bit traumatizing for me, because it brings back a lot of memories and a lot of feelings with those memories that I don't want to repeat, but that's what the film does for me. I usually don't watch it when we screen. And right now I am a little nervous about the broadcasting premiere. I'm nervous about what people are going to think of me. And also, I mean, this is my life. There's several years of my life that I opened up, and I try not to think too much about it and just do it.
Was that your approach then throughout the filming itself? Just like, okay, I've agreed to this. I'm just going to do it and see what happens.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And in a way, during filming, previous to filming and growing up on the reservation and this little red girl, I really felt like I was having a hard time finding my place in the world and feeling like I belonged, and most importantly, like I mattered. So I had low self-esteem, and the process of filming that came out, and like I said, it was a challenge. But whenever we do filming and we get done, like at the end of the day, I would be relieved, but I thought that it was over. And at the same time, I had this awareness that this was something bigger than me. And I was also aware that, I mean, I was going to be heard, and that gave me motivation to keep going.
So Sunny, what do you want people to take away from, those who see this film on television on Monday night, seeing this version of you, an earlier version of yourself? What is it that, you know, from the story, and what you know, even though it's an old story, it's still about what's the life on Pine Ridge. What do you want people to understand, not just here in South Dakota, but nationwide?
I especially want young people to understand that their voices matter, and they do have the power to create change within not only themselves, but also their community.
Do you think the filmmakers did a good job of capturing life on Pine Ridge?
You know, I think they did a really good job of capturing life on Pine Ridge.
And for you, Marion Rose, what would you like viewers to take away from watching Young Lakota?
Rose, or should I? Well, that we like to say that reproductive rights and justice is a way of understanding the world. You know, that for women and for men too, it's basically fundamental to the human experience. You know, whether to have sex, not to have sex, to have children, not to have children. All of these decisions need to be looked at holistically and need to be supported. And that's what I hope the takeaway is.
And the film is a prism of this. You've got Brandon, who has small kids, who's a boy struggling with, you know, how to make a living and raise his children. You have Serena, who is a mom by choice. You have Sunny, who is not a mom in the film by choice. So it's not just about whether or the right not to have children. It's to have children in circumstances that support to really be free to make that decision whether or not to have children, and to do it in circumstances that support your decision. And that's economic, psychological, political. It's a holistic frame.
Now, Young Lakota has been screened around the country already, and I believe it was shown at the Journey Museum in Rapid City. What's been the response?
Sunny, what do you think?
I've had wonderful experiences with the audiences and their responses, and people pull different things from the film, I suppose, based on their lives and what they're going through. So the reactions are varied, but there's something that somebody can usually relate to.
So you were at the screenings?
Yes, I've been to several.
And did you talk to people? I'm just wondering what the interaction is after seeing you on screen than to see you in real person, in real life.
They pinch her. She's real.
Yeah.
It's terrific. Sorry, Sunny, you can answer too, but I have to say it makes us feel so proud. It's so wonderful to see Sunny now and who Sunny was, and to see that how she's grown and changed and come into her own. And it's incredibly gratifying to see Sunny with an audience after the film.
And a lot of, people who see it, especially who live on reservations, you know, tell us that we got the nuances, we got the politics right. You know, they really feel themselves represented in a way that isn't what's called poverty porn, and that's just wonderful to hear.